Well, good evening. I ask that you say a prayer for me. Lord didn't give me as much ahead of time that I would like before he asked me to get up here and bring a message. So I ask that y'all pray for me, that the burden that's on my heart, I'd be able to bring it out in the way that I feel it in my heart. It's a heavy burden, but it's simple, and it's both an encouragement and a challenge to us all. I've written on the board, "Walk about Zion," and that comes from one of the Psalms, Psalm 18. Not Psalm 18. I'm sorry, 48. It comes from Psalm 48. I think it's the very last couple of verses in Psalm 48. The Zion that passage is talking about literally was the physical city of Zion. It seems to be a psalm from maybe a triumphant psalm. After a victory. A literal victory at the city of Zion, which would have been Jerusalem, which contained the Mount Moriah, which is the Temple Mount. But I would like to take this a little deeper, because if you go read farther into the scriptures and you go over into the New Testament in Hebrews, Hebrews 12. In fact, let's go ahead and lead with that so we can kind of get our bearings about which Zion we're talking about tonight. Hebrews 12. And let's start, I believe, with the 22nd verse. Well, actually, I'm going to kind of paraphrase a little bit before this. Leading up to this 22nd verse is talking about the mountain, Mount Sinai, where Moses was, where it said that, you know, you weren't supposed to come to that mount. You couldn't touch the mountain, or unless you'd be thrust through with a dart, burned with fire, or there's a lot of, it says, "And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake." Mount Sinai was a physical mountain that the Israelites knew very well. They knew the history of where, you know, Ten Commandments came from. I'm sure they knew the stories and the history of what happened when Moses came down and saw the golden calf and all those things. And they knew the commandments that God had given them. He told them, do not touch the mountain. Only Moses was allowed to be on the mountain whenever God was there, and his presence was there on the mountain with Moses. And in fact, Moses had been so close to God that when he came down from the mountain, the people couldn't even bear to look at him, because the presence, he had been so intensely in the presence of God that his face was literally shining to where they could not look upon him without him putting a veil on his face. So this was a very well-known mountain and account in the their history. But then there's a clarification here that the writer of Hebrews is saying that we're not talking about that. You are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. So I want to stop there. The Zion that we're going to talk about tonight, we're still going to use the scriptures from Psalm 48, because I believe they apply today. Mount Zion, or the city of Zion, now is God's church, God's people. We make up Zion. We reside in Zion, and there's a heavenly, the New Jerusalem, but his church now is part of Zion. And so we have the privilege to have many of us grown up in this. We've had the privilege to know what it means to serve the Lord. We've had training. We've had teaching. We've had understanding of what it means to seek and serve the Lord and bring Him our offerings, both sometimes physical, when we commit ourselves and our homes and our possessions to Him, but then also our will and our goals and things we hold dear to us. But what I want to talk about tonight is maybe a reminder that it's really important that we get a vision of what the church of God is, of who the church of God is, of what it was that Jesus set into place when he left the world, when he died on the cross, resurrected, and he left, that he set in place on earth the church of God, the one true church, which is we can trace our lineage all the way back to Jesus Christ, and that's the head of the church is Jesus Christ. But these verses in Psalm 48, I want us to read these, and then I'm going to read through these last verses, and I want us to think about and talk a little bit about it, of what it means to reside in the city of Zion, and then if we truly understand what it means to walk about Zion and observe what it means to be part of Zion, part of the church of God. And I'm not talking about the sign out front. I'm talking about the true church of God, the church of God that has a line all the way back. And yes, we have a sign out there that says Church of God, but this is a chapel, a building that part of the body of the Church of God worships in. And I am so thankful that I've had that privilege. But this is talking about us to walk about Zion as a whole in a much bigger picture than what these four walls contain. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide, even unto death. Walk about Zion and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. I believe that means basically to take count. Note all the towers. Note what you see as you walk about Zion. Note the defenses, the places that we can look to for safety, for guidance. I think of the towers as the there's a lot of different ways my mind is going with this and the way the Lord has brought it out to me, but the towers and the bulwarks, those are meant for defense. Towers were placed back in those days in the ancient cities. They had towers not only for defense, because they could fire their crossbows or bows, whatever they had, out of the tower windows. But a lot of the point where the towers were for was to build a watch. Because the sooner you knew when an army was coming, the better. The sooner you knew a problem was coming your way, the better off you were. So the towers were very important. They had towers all around these cities, and the more towers you had and the more watchmen you had in the towers, you know, that was a pretty good sense. You could go to bed at night knowing, hey, we got watchmen in the towers that's going to help keep us safe tonight. But then the bulwarks. The bulwarks were part of the wall, and there's, if you go read a little bit about what bulwarks are and what they were, if I wish I was a little better of an artist, I'd try to draw it a little bit, but maybe I'll draw a little top-down view of what I understand the bulwarks to be. If this is bird's eye view from the top down, the bulwarks are the part of the wall where they extend out. And so here's the wall. So you had a place where men could stand out here, and of course your attack would be coming from the front of the wall. And so you had places where men could stand, and it would be out where they could actually allow there to be more soldiers on the wall, and they could also fire in when the enemy was coming in to try to scale the wall and attack. So I was thinking about the bulwarks, the defenses that we have. And I want to just talk a little bit about personally some things that I feel like the Lord has done for me that I can, for lack of a better word, hang my hat on, that there's some safety in some of these things. There's some, I can walk about Zion and I can see the things that God has put in place for my safety, for my defense, for the defense of the church. I can tell you, there's always been a church, and there always will be God's church. He keeps his church going strong. Now, maybe there may be a few less than what we would like to see out in the open. We don't recognize, I would say, how many people there actually are in God's church. I know with either Elijah or Elisha, I always get them mixed up, when he was lamenting the fact that I'm the only one left. There's nobody else but me. Woe is me. Just go ahead and take me. I'm the last one. And God said, well, there's a lot of conversation that happened. But then God said, you're not the only one. By the way, I've got 7,000 others besides you. And you're not alone. We're not alone either. The city of Zion is, well, it's not sick. It's not about to fall. I can tell you that. Maybe it's not. We see the world. It looks like the world is winning constantly, and we're on the losing side. But we get to know the end. We know the end of the story. We know what's coming. We know what is at the end of this time. But what I have a burden for us tonight is that we go, maybe even go down memory lane a little bit. Go walk about Zion and the experiences that you've had. Maybe go back to some victories that you've had in the past. Because that's what this psalm is talking about. After a victory, he said, come walk about Zion. Consider the towers. Do you see that? You see how that has defended this city so well? Do you see these bulwarks? They have served this city so well. Because this psalm is talking about kings coming and seeing the city and being afraid and turning and running. The bulwarks that we have, there's some psalms that I was reading earlier this week. And the defenses that we have are not the physical defenses. They're things that we have to lay hold of. And I think that's what the scripture is talking about, to walking about Zion and seeing those things, the spiritual defenses that are there, and laying hold of those things and believing in them. Because if we don't, then we're going to miss out on some of the defenses that are available to us. Because what's going to end up happening is we're going to try to build our own little stick defenses out here. And the scripture talks about going in and out, seeking pasture, and staying in the fold. I believe that's part of that is talking about staying in the fold of the city of Zion. If I step out of these gates, say there's a gate right here. If I step outside of that, these bulwarks don't do anything for me at that point. I am no longer under the protection of the towers and the bulwarks that are there for my safety. And what happens is if I step outside of that, I start going my own way, ignoring the defenses. I fail to walk about Zion and notice where the defenses are, where the towers are, and I decide to step outside of that, and I start trying to build my own little stick defenses. They don't work. And I have a very specific example. I'm not going to go too much in detail because it's a very personal thing for me. But just recently, I was praying and seeking the Lord, and I happened to be in an airport that had, they called it an interfaith chapel. Maybe some of y'all have seen those. There's a little place off the side of a terminal, and you can go in there, and they'll usually have several Bibles and different books and stuff. And I had about an hour and a half, so I decided to go in there and just sit for a little bit, because I needed the Lord. I just had been feeling like there's things that I should have been doing better with, and I was not succeeding. I was not feeling very strong. I wasn't feeling very spiritual. I wasn't feeling a lot of those things. I just wasn't, and I felt like, not looking back, I was a little too close to the edge of the wall. I was getting a little too close to the edge where the defenses were just barely able to do their job. And I was praying, say, Lord, I need you. I need your help. Well, One of the things I had been praying was, Lord, why do I not have the strength? Can you give me the strength to get through this? Can you give me the strength to get the victory over this thing that I've been dealing with? And why is it that every time, you know, I pray and I'm going to do it, and I may have given this testimony to a certain degree before, that every time I try, I'm going to turn over a new leaf, I'm going to do this, I'm going to be better. And it never fails. It always just keeps the cycle, just keeps going. And I'm sure some of y'all can relate. Sometimes you get into a cycle where you do better for a while, and then you fall back to the same old things that you've been trying to get victory over. But what I failed to recognize is I had been failing to walk about Zion. I had failed to recognize and place God in his proper place, to recognize the safety and the bulwarks and the towers that were there for my safety. And I had failed to truly allow the Lord to be my defense. I was trying too hard to step real close to the edge of the wall and then build my own defenses, because I felt like my defenses were going to work. I felt like my defenses were going to keep me safe. But I'm going to read a little bit in Psalm 18. And this is where the Lord met me so richly in that little room and made me realize that when I am able to cry out honestly and openly before him as a child of God, that when he hears one of his children is in trouble, it makes him angry at the trouble that they are in. Because I'm going to read some of this psalm. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. So that's the first little phrases that the Lord brought to me that I had been ignoring, not intentionally. And I want to preface this. I was not intentionally ignoring any of these facts. I wasn't intentionally saying, well, Lord, I'm not going to let you be my rock. I actually had been considering thinking, well, Lord, yes, Lord, you're my rock. Absolutely. The Lord is my defense. He's my shield. But I wasn't doing it in practice. So I read this and it hit me a little differently. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. The Lord is my high tower, the bulwarks that I should be staying inside of. He sets those boundaries for me and for his church. And then it goes on further. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. And so that kind of rose my interest. It's like, well, Lord, I've been trying to be saved from my enemies. What am I doing wrong? And that's when, the same time I had been reading those scriptures, I think the day before, I flipped over to the Psalm 48 where it said, walk about Zion, consider the bulwarks, tell the towers thereof, see what you see. See the safety that there is and trusting the Lord. See the safety that there is in staying within the city of Zion. This passage goes on, says, I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about, the snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out and cried unto my God, and he heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken, because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also, and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub, and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind, and he made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of water were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. He sent from above, he took me, and he drew me out of many waters. Thank the Lord. I felt the Lord's presence so strong in that little, it was kind of a noisy room because it had open ceiling, I guess, so you could hear all the announcements in the airport of whose flight was taking off and all that. But in the middle of all that, the Lord met me so strong that I just had to cry out to him in an honest, open cry, saying, Lord, I need you. This enemy is after me, and it's been after me. And he said he sent from above, he took me and drew me out of many waters. And I felt that peace that flowed over me from whenever I felt the fact that he was lifting me up. About, however, there's some more to this chapter that the Lord is doing for us. So I'll keep reading. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He is my defense. He is my bulwark. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. And I don't want to add to the scriptures or anything, but I feel like my experience, when that scripture says he delivered me into a large place, that he took me from out here and he said, let's step back in here. Let's come back in here and let's consider some things. Let me show you what I want you to do. This is what I want from you. This is where I want you to be. I want you to live inside this boundary, not inside this little boundary that you created out here where you are having some trouble. And the Lord will come to our rescue whenever we have messed up. Well, he has done it for me. He has come to my rescue many, many times when I've made foolish mistakes. But he pulled me back and he said, for I've kept the ways, let's see, I want to skip down a little bit. Verse 27, for thou wilt save the afflicted people, but will bring down high looks, for thou wilt light my candle, and the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leapt over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. Now, there's a little caveat at the we're fixing to read, verses 34 through 42. The first part of this chapter, God came in as a protector. I kind of got the image of a mama sow bear coming in and protecting one of her young. That's kind of what I pictured when I see this. That's what it sounds like. God, he's coming in with lightnings and hailstones and fire, and this is one of mine, and you're not going to take him. I'm going to take him back and set him in a large place. He's mine. And that's wonderful and great, and I thank the Lord for how he delivers us that way. And sometimes he comes in and he does fight the battle for us. However, there's something else following this that we have a part to play now. He's going to deliver us, and sometimes he does do it all himself, and he did that sometimes with the Israelites, but a lot of the times he required them to fight for what he told them to take. He didn't always just fight the whole battle for them where they didn't have to do anything. So these next few verses I'm going to read, he teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. He teaches me to war. He teaches me to fight. Yes, I have to rely on him. I have to rely on him to be my defense. I have to rely on him to be my rock. But I read this when he said it teaches my hands to war. As it talks about it, I think it's in Ezekiel, about being watchmen on the wall. He teaches my hands to war, which makes me think about I have a responsibility to defend, to help be one of the ones that's on the wall defending the city of Zion. To be one of the ones that's defending the people. The ones, well, the scriptures are very plain about you who are strong, help the ones that are weaker. Be there for them. Be a defense. That's part of what we are to be, watchmen on the wall. We are to help protect and be a watch, but not only for others, but for ourselves, for our families. We have a responsibility. It says, "He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great." I found that quite an interesting phrase. The gentleness has made me great. We heard this morning in our Sunday school about the influential, how a king is very influential, and many times the example we had of David is he had a lot of power, he had a lot of influence, but he was, I know he made his mistakes, but he watched out for his people, he watched out for his subjects, and he was. I don't know if you could classify him as a gentle man because of how much of a man of war he was, but the gentleness that he had for his people did help make him be a great king. And that's thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken them. Not only did I win the battle, did I put them to flight, but then I pursued mine enemies. I overtook them. Neither did I turn again until they were consumed. And this is the part that the Lord gave me very strongly. He let me know that, you know, I helped you with this part of the battle, but the enemy's still out there. I pulled you back into a large place, but there's still an enemy out there. And I'm still a human, and I still have the daily struggles. I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn again till they were consumed. Don't stop until the battle's over. I have wounded them that they were not able to rise. They were fallen under my feet. So then you can say, well, that's good enough. Now I can walk away. The enemy's down. They've fallen under my feet. No, for thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They cried, but there was none to save them, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them small as a dust before the wind, and I did cast them out as the dirt in the streets. Y'all, what the Lord showed me with this was I had tried so long to win my own battle, to put up my own defenses, and when I would fight the battle, I was very similar, I don't remember which tribe it was, that I would chase the enemy so far, but then let them stay in my land. There was a message not too long ago about very much land. There's still land to be taken. There's still land in my area that needs to be taken, but because I'm letting things stay, I'm letting things, thinking I could put things to tribute. That was one of my biggest downfalls, was thinking I could put these things to tribute, that I could make them work for me. You know, I don't have to get rid of that because this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to, Lord, you know, I know you want me to get rid of that, but I think if we do it this way, does that sound familiar to the Israelites? If I do it this way, what can happen is it'll actually pay me taxes, and then I will benefit from that, and then I'll do even better for you, Lord. Then I will be able to, you know, I'll be better at defending the city of Zion, and I'll be better equipped. I'll have, you know, a better mindset. If, you know, this is how I'm going to do it, but I can tell you that's not what worked out very well for me. Anytime that the Lord has put his finger on something saying, I need you to do less of this, or maybe do more of this, or I need you to destroy that, if you try to put it to tribute and thinking that it's going to benefit you because you have a better plan, you're going to find yourself walking around out here somewhere, just wandering around, in the open, ready to be attacked, and not in the defenses of Zion, of the walking about Zion. See the bulwarks, see the towers, make note of where they're at, make note of where the bulwarks are at, make note of where the safety is. Walk about Zion, count all those things, tell them, and then there's a very key part of that at the very end that was a challenge to me, that I want to be true to that challenge, the command, that you may tell it to the generation following. That not only do I have a responsibility, I was talking earlier about having a responsibility to other people, to each other, to the ones that are weaker. There's a challenge right here. It says, consider her palaces that ye may tell it to the generation following. How am I going to tell my children, my grandchildren, and whoever else I come in contact with, of where the safety is, where the city of Zion is, where the blessings of the... Y'all, there's so many bulwarks and towers right here that we can lay hold on if we will, if we'll read and read to understand and know. But how are my children going to know except I tell them? How are my grandchildren going to know except I tell them? That was a challenge for me. To not only is this for your benefit, walk about Zion, tell the towers thereof, mark you well her bulwarks. Pay real close attention to where the defenses are, because I want you to know that. I want you to know where the palaces are. I want you to know where the places of riches that are available to you as a children of God, as inhabitants of Zion. Know where those palaces are that you can go and be refreshed. But not only for you, but so that you can tell it. I want you to share it. That the gospel message is right here in the Psalms. The Great Commission is for us to go out and tell everyone about it. It was in the Old Testament too. He said, go tell the younger generation about it. Let them know what it means. Let them know what it means to serve the Lord. Y'all, I have a heavy burden for us as a people, as a church, as a congregation, that we would see clearly what the church of God is, what the city of Zion is, and where the bulwarks and the towers and the palaces are. And I don't have it all figured out. I'm still walking the boundaries. I'm still marking the bulwarks. I'm still telling the towers. And I figure I'll probably be doing it for the rest of my life. But I ask that y'all pray for me, as I will be praying for you, that we will pray for a vision of His church. What it means to be a part of that. What it means to be a part of the true church. Not to be a part of a sign out by a street, but to be a part of God's true church, the city of Zion. Y'all pray for me. I want to be true, and I want to be living inside the walls of Zion. Amen.